Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Abu Ramaraj was born in India and migrated to Australia in 2006. She had a brother who was differently abled. With a burning desire to find a cure, she pursued a master's in biotechnology. When she was not able to get a job in research, translated as fate had other plans for her, she decided to pursue mortgage broking. She started her own mortgage broking firm in 2009 and is still running a successful practice in Melbourne. She has a passion to help women become property owners and hence authored a book called Smart Women, Smart Home Loans. She's also an avid advocate of women empowerment and is working on offering finance workshops and one-on-one coaching for the same. Hi, Abu. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thank you, Leanne. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited that you're sharing your story with us today. Shall we get started?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. All right. So do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
So I am a mortgage broker, but in terms of what's happening right now, my passion always has been to support women, to empower them, especially financially and in any other way I can. So what I am doing right now is sort of wanting to offer free lunch and learns to corporate women on how to change their mindset and be the boss of their purse. So that's the exciting thing in my life. So I'm going out and trying to do my bit to help, you know, women take control of their finance.
Yeah, I love that. So where have you actually been? What's your story to get to this point?
Okay, so I have been in Australia for 13 years. I come from India. I got married. Mine is an arranged marriage. And then I moved here because my husband was here. I have two children. But my background in terms of education is science, Master of Science, Biotechnology. So I graduated back in India. I moved here and then I had my son, so I couldn't work for a bit. But when I started looking for a job, it was really hard. I even did like a 7-month volunteer work, but it was really hard with, you know, finding the job, funding and politics as well. So that's when I decided to move into mortgage broking. So come August this year, I would have been a broker for 9 years. So I'm very proud of that achievement that I've, you know, come from overseas and set up a business and really grown that well. And I've always been sort of my virtues, you know, in business, being ethical while still, you know, making a profit and trying to truly help clients. That's my journey in a nutshell.
Yeah. Bit different from the science to the mortgage broking.
It's very different, but sometimes I think, you know, science is sort of methodical and so is, you know, analyzing a client's need and giving them the right options. So it sort of ties in hand, and I've always had a passion for numbers. So maths is one of my favorite subjects. So I'm not quite surprised that I landed up where I am now. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the tipping point for change when you were coming up thinking, oh, I can't get a job in what, you know, I'm trained in? What was the tipping point to make you go towards mortgage broking?
That's a very good question, because I did my cert in mortgage broking in 2007. So I arrived in Australia in February 2006. In 2007, I did my cert 4. My husband wanted to do mortgage broking, but then he was working elsewhere. So it was a bit of a thing where he couldn't do that. And he said, you know, you're really good with numbers. Why don't you do this? So I did the cert 4, but for 2 years, I just couldn't make that change. Cause you know, I worked really hard with my science degree and I was university first and, you know, both in my bachelor's and master's, I've really done my best there. And I'm like, I really want to give it a go before I say I'm quitting this field. So in 2009, January, I got a volunteer work, 7 months, did a fantastic job. Everybody there were happy and they were going to publish a paper and they were happy to put my name. But when it came to finding the job, again, as I said, there was a bit of politics in there. And even though they said, you know, there's going to be an interview, and one day there was this new girl who appeared there, and I didn't get the job. And I thought, you know what, I need to sort of stop thinking about either, you know, whatever happens next, is it mortgage broking or science? I'm going to take that. And mortgage broking just happened. And, you know, I just went with the flow, even though I have not worked anywhere before in Australia. I did not have a big network, so to say. I still took the plunge, and yeah, the rest is history. And I, you know, I'm having an amazing time, and I'm thinking probably I was destined to do this. And that's why, you know, probably the science job didn't happen.
Yeah. So yeah. Whereabouts did the empowering women part come from?
I think I've always sort of been, you know, for women, because in the culture that I grew up, not that my parents were very, you know, you're a girl, you can't do it. They actually, in fact, encouraged, they were very open-minded being in India as well. But there were certain things always, you know, from an angle of, oh, you know, we need to get you married, you can't do this. So when I came to Australia, it was like freedom for me. Mm-hmm. But even through working, you know, my mortgage broking in the early years, the first 2 or 3 years, I saw a lot of women who were not sort of interested in taking, you know, an active part in understanding the family finances. And because of that, some divorces and nasty things. But also I saw some single women who were earning a lot and but still having no savings. So all these over time, I think, sort of made me think, okay, you know, I'm really good with this myself. So why not help women? So I did a business coaching for myself after 4 years of being in the business. And when I was diving deep and digging through to understanding why am I doing what am I doing, I really understood that, you know, this is my passion and I wanted to empower. So I even wrote a book called Smart Women, Smart Home Loans, which is on the mortgage broking front. From then on, you know, it was just like once I understood what my passion was, you know, there was no stopping me.
Yeah. So was it like a slow rumble leading up to all this, or did you have a lightning bolt moment where you think, right, now I'm going to go out there and help other women?
No, it was a slow change. As I said, you know, I think all through my life I've seen that, and I thought moving to Australia and, you know, being one of the Western world, it would have been a little bit different, but I thought, no, everywhere it's the same. Sometimes women just don't want to, you know, like, I don't know, you know, when you have a family, your priorities are different. But I always tell women, you need to understand, for whatever reason, you know, not that your partner's going to cheat you, but, you know, if you should end up not having the right partner, or sometimes, you know, there's accidents that happen. So it's really good to have that knowledge, because it's going to take you through your life. And being empowered is always good, having the knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So what about challenges? Have you had some along the way that made you feel like throwing in the towel?
Oh, so many times. In the first 4 years, oh God, how many times have I said, I'm not going to do this business anymore. It is so tough, and, you know, crying and all that. I think I've gone through all of that many times, but I still kept doing all the work that I had to do. When I first started my business, I got pregnant with my daughter, my second child. So it was even more harder. And I still, you know, I used to go to appointments. I even had an appointment the day before my daughter was born. So I was really committed to doing, and I was with my laptop in the hospital the third day, still doing stuff. So yeah, I just put in all the hard work that I had to do. And when things didn't pick up as better as I would have liked in the first 4 years, I really felt like, oh, what am I doing? I might as well just go and work for somebody. At least, you know, I can just shut down at 5 o'clock and not have to worry. But I think it's one of those times when I felt like quitting that something different happened, and, you know, business just took off really well, and I was really happy, and I was still working hard. But yeah, then things started changing slowly.
Yeah. So what keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? Is it a big vision, or did you have to add a necessity at first?
It I wouldn't say it was a necessity. Of course, you know, everybody, you know, when you get into business, you want to make it work. What's the point of doing things if you're not going to see a profit? But over time, I think there are so many things I've realized. I'm really lucky to be where I am, because I have 2 young children in primary school, and, you know, I get to see a lot of their events, and they don't have to go to before school, after school, which I sort of, you know, even emphasize to them to say, you guys are really lucky and you should be really grateful And all that is possible because of my work. So I do what I have to do, but also this other thing is passion. You know, like I've achieved so much in my life. Now I want to give back as well. Charity is also a big part of me. Always grew up in that environment, even back in India. Father was a businessman, so I've always seen them helping, you know, people who need. And so it's a combination of things, you know, just makes me do what I have to do, but in a joyful way and knowing that I'm making a difference in this world and leaving behind a legacy.
Yeah, beautiful. Have you had an ignition point where things have really started taking off for you?
As I said, I did a business coaching 4 years into my business. It was called Key Person of Influence, which is when I wrote my book, but also, you know, my business, I worked a lot on it to make it grow, and the connections I made there, that sort of really helped me. And yeah, once my business grew, then it was more on, you know, getting other people to help in the business, but also understanding what works for me, what doesn't work for me. So yeah, that sort of really helped me at that time. And my book, you know, still it's there in a few libraries here, and I've sort of given away a lot of books, hundreds of books. So there's a copy sitting, you know, in most people's house, and
fantastic.
That sort of helped me.
Mm-hmm. What new possibilities have opened up for you?
Once my business was set, now I solely operate through word of mouth, so I don't advertise much, which means now I am focusing more on my, you know, public speaking, as I said, wanting to go out and do my bit on empowering women financially, take control of your finance. I don't think this would be possible if I was just trying to grow my business. We need the money, which is obviously, as I've mentioned a few times, that's what business is all about. So once I've set that up, I'm just now exploring other things. Or even this radio interview, things like this. I enjoy different things to do, not just working day in, day out. One other thing that once the business was set is we started a not-for-profit organization here in the western suburbs of Victoria. It's called Inner Wheel. It's an international organization. It's the women's side of Rotary. So I sort of spearheaded and helped start that group here. And we have a beautiful, you know, group of women here. We do projects to fundraising, helping different charities, things like that. I guess that's what excites me. And also bringing together the women and showing them life is not just all about work, but also to have fun and help others and to empower yourself, to take care of yourself. That's my big thing. Always to go back and tell women you can do a lot of things and choose what you want to do because it's your life. You have that choice.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Mm. So another exciting thing is the Thousand Ripples effect, being an author there.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I'm really excited. You know, like not many people will get the chance to learn life lessons when they are that young. So I'm really, really grateful that I've got that opportunity, and yeah, I'm a part of it too.
Yeah, definitely. So what else is exciting about the future that you're looking forward to?
I never ever thought I'll be where I am today, 10 years ago. If you asked me, where would you be? I wouldn't have had a clue. The only thing I tell people in business, not in business, children, anybody, is be okay to say yes to things. A lot of the things that I do, sometimes I don't know how I'm going to do it or how it's going to happen, but I say yes and the universe just shows me the way, and which is why, you know, probably I am talking to you today because I said yes to that particular opportunity. But, you know, I've been an author as well. So it's like, I really don't, I don't have a clue where I will be, but I know I will still be continuing my passion of empowering women, hopefully internationally on the speaking circuit, and empowering more women that I possibly thought I could.
Yeah. How awesome is that? I love that too. I often say yes and work out how. Say yes first.
I was never that kind of a person, especially when I was in the science. I had to know 100% how things were going to workout or what the end result was, but being in business, I think I've changed my mindset over time, and I think I'm okay with that now. And people have to go through that journey to be, it's not easy because I've gone through that. I know it is. But yeah, it's good to be like that. Yeah.
Yeah, once you get there, it's just fantastic. All right, let's have a change in pace and let's do the speed round. What's your favorite book?
I would say I read a lot of books, but I think my favorite is Think and Grow Rich.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mentor figure that's helped
Love
you the
that. Love
most.
that. I wouldn't say any one particular person over time. As I said, I say yes, and then the right people have appeared in my life to give the support that I need in different ways. So yeah, I cannot point to one particular person.
Yeah. What daily ritual works best for you?
Ritual. I have a few, but my favorite one is meditation. Definitely, I love my morning meditation. I think that sort of sets the pace for the day. I've done that, I think, over the past 3 years now, and I think that's one thing I don't want to give up. It
Yeah.
really makes a difference.
Yeah. What about a favorite food?
Oh, I love different cuisines, but Indian, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you like the country or
Love
the city?
Indian. I love Melbourne, but I love India too. So I guess, bit of both, I guess.
Yep. What sort of advice would you give to someone who wanted to make change in their life?
I think it's to trust oneself and say that, I know things are going to work out. And I know it's easy for me to say it because over time, I've learned that as well. And I know when you're stuck with something or you face a challenge, you're like, oh, why me? Why should I have to face this? But every challenge opens up a new opportunity. And it's to trust yourself and the universe, knowing that things happen for the best and it's all going to work out eventually.
Yeah,
And
love
to
that.
not take life too seriously.
Yes, that's a big one, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
All right, last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
This is an interesting one as well because I often sort of have this conversation with my husband and say, well, I would really want to have the same kind of knowledge and experience that I have, but in my 20s. But of late, I think, well, I don't think you would want that because you wouldn't want a baby to, probably be in the PhD level. It's the journey that you go through and all the experience that you collect makes you who you are. So I think I'm really happy where I am and I don't think I want to go back or do anything different.
Yeah, nice. All right, well, thank you so much for your valuable time and sharing your story with us, Abu. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you and we'll leave it there?
I am available on all social media. So I am on Facebook. It's my first name, Obu, and then my last name, Ramaraj. People can find me there, or even if they Google, I think my name is unique. So a lot of thing pops up, or they can email me as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Leanna. It's really my pleasure being here and having this chat with you today.
Oh, you're welcome. Igniters, Obu has a wonderful mission to empower women financially. I love how she says that life is not all about work and you can do a lot of things and choose what you want to because you have choice. If you want to contact Obu, go to her Facebook page, Obu Ramaraj. For learning how to live an adventurous life, one full of fun and variety, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.